Chapter 8. A long minute ticked by, and I held Nova's hand as she stared down the heart of Tear Island like it was currently her own personal Everest. "Noves," I prodded. And then I sat up straighter on my heels so I could check on the progress of Big Daddy the Drill Beast. The platypus mole badger was still carefully scooping up the brood eggs in the nursery one at a time in its shovel-like bill, and then setting them on either side of the path it was making. It stopped as if it suddenly sensed I was watching it, and the creature glared in my direction. I ducked before he could fix his beady eyes on me, and when I was back below the line of the driller eggs, I heard his shuffles resume with more speed.
"Shh,"
Nova said, and she yanked her hand out of mine so she could clamp her palms against her ears. I said, and cast my gaze around for something to do. But there was literally nothing but the eggs around us, Big Daddy shoveling toward us, and the moss pants on my ass. "Honey, do you think we can—"
"Shh,"
she hissed, and squeezed her eyes shut so tightly they resembled two little squinty lines. I counted to 10 mentally and tried my best to stop myself from nagging her along. Based on my current track record with the temperamental siren, I knew she really did not like to be prodded. But Big Daddy was definitely getting closer, and each second that ticked by was another second Shay was on Aang, probably somewhere deep underground, facing who knew what. So time really was of the essence. Time. Wait a minute. That was kind of my thing. But to give Nova the time she required, she would have to be pulled into the time trance with me. I had no idea if that was possible. But if the Siren Woman needed the time to focus so she could portal us safely, and so none of our parts were left behind, then I would give it to her. I liked my parts where they were, thank you very much, so I closed my eyes, drowned out the din of the drill beast encroaching ever closer, and drew from the well of power deep inside of me. Tick. The world slowed like it always did with the beating of my heart, and the wave of slowness expanded to encompass my immediate surroundings, which included the frustrated feral animal. But this time, I tried something I'd only ever fleetingly thought about doing. Since I had come to discover and develop the time-trance powers upon arriving on Avantol, there was a lot of untapped potential to this ability. Namely, the time stop I managed on a few occasions, where I completely halted all forward momentum through time and space, and the time reversal I had managed only once before. If I could manipulate time enough to stop it, that meant time was more fluid than the philosophers and physicists from my own universe ever predicted, because it questioned everything Newtonian. For example, I'd always wondered how I remained at my normal speed while the bubble of power I released affected everything else. The only logical conclusion was there were two bubbles, one I could expand at will, and the other that seemed to be surrounding only me. If I could figure out a way to expand my personal bubble as well, I could possibly draw another person into it with me. But this was all theoretical, and based upon weird multiverse physics, I knew I was not smart enough to comprehend. Even if Mr. Jenner taught a class on Avantol Calc 101. Regardless, it was worth a shot, and I threw myself wholeheartedly into my own little experiment, because I couldn't afford not to. Tick. The outer layer of my power caused the world to slow down even more. And I dug down as deep as I could and pictured the inner bubble of my trance expanding outward to encompass Nova as well. "Ugh," I groaned, as a too-tight feeling pulled at something behind my gut where my lower spine was. If I had to describe it, the sensation was like trying to stretch one sheet of saran wrap over two full plates of leftovers. It was a chore. And I instantly felt as if I was pushing the limits of my power already, but eventually, I drew Nova into the trance with me. Or most of her, anyway. Some of her long hair was still caught in the trance outside of our shared bubble. So when she moved, it was as if she was pulling her blue hair through water, because it ended up making odd waving shapes that surrounded her head.
"How?"
she asked. And she pulled some hair over her shoulder where it dropped once it was introduced to proper normal velocity inside the force field.
"I'll explain later,"
I panted, as beads of sweat began to stand out on my forehead. But I've given you extra time.
Extra?
She questioned. And now it was her turn to pop her head up so she could see the drill beast now moving so slowly he barely looked mobile at all. More time, I clarified. To do what you need to do. Even though a wave of nausea rolled through me the longer I held the two concentric bubbles, I swallowed it back as best as I could and maintained a calm exterior, like we had all the time in the world. It seemed to work because the siren woman exhaled a breath of relief when she at last understood the pressure was off.
I don't know. It can work,
she admitted in her broken syntax.
Ingheart is broken, but maybe because Ye-Ye...
Do you think Shay was able to make a path for us? I asked along the lines of what she was getting at.
Maybe,
she repeated.
I have to.
Then she pantomimed what was too complicated for her to explain in words by closing her eyes again and squeezing her temples with both palms. You need to really concentrate, I concluded. And she dropped her hands and nodded quickly.
Have to feel.
She then placed her hand over her own heart.
Ingheart is quiet voice.
Okay, I'll keep quiet while you listen for Aang's heart, I said. And I gave her another one of my patented disarming smiles, even though I was rapidly growing uncomfortable. She smiled back in gratitude, and when her eyes closed, I let my facade drop and gave in to the pained grimace I'd wanted to make ever since I summoned the dual time trance. At the moment, I felt as if I was one of those Olympic weightlifters who had to hold impossible amounts of weight above their heads for however many seconds. Every one of my muscles strained from sustaining the necessary power, and my body began to tremble and quake as sweat poured down my face. Finally, just when I thought I would lose my grip on the trance, Nova's eyes popped open and she grabbed my hand. This gave me the permission I needed to let the trance go. And I felt the sickening snapback just as the siren woman placed her hand on the surface of the citrine gold Terran heart. The feeling of the snapback combined with the abrupt compression of portaling through the door was not something I ever wanted to experience ever again. And once we landed in yet another underground place, I was not even slightly ashamed when I vomited to the side, since it made me feel almost instantly better.
Alex?
Nova asked when I dropped to my knees so I could heave again. I'm fine, I gasped, and wiped some of the watery puke off my chin. Ugh. Sorry about that. Gross. The siren woman wasn't convinced by my platitudes, and she stopped me from standing back up by bullying me to sit still for a moment. When I tried to tell her once again that I really was okay, she merely glared at me and then crawled in my lap with her arms crossed.
Rest,
she insisted. Okay, just for a minute, I chuckled, and let her have a second while I glanced around. We definitely looked like we were underground based on the rock ceilings dripping with stalactites, but the cave was obviously repurposed to be a room of some sort. Along every wall were stacks of wooden drawers with crumbling handwritten symbols on the front. Based on the pattern, I could tell they were probably numbers, and the arrangement of what were essentially filing cabinets reminded me of the old-fashioned cataloging systems most municipal libraries used to use before Dewey went digital. Oh yeah. We were definitely on Aang if the best use of an underground cave the architects could think of was just another room for book stuff. Mercedes. Hey, Nova, I said, as something occurred to me. If the hearts are like doors, why do we keep ending up far away from them? The Lacuna woman opened her mouth right away as if she knew exactly how to answer my question, but then scowled as the words eluded her. She huffed and took a deep breath in a vaguely familiar way, and I wondered if she'd picked that up from me.
A key,
she started, and held her hands up in a gesture that made it seem like she was framing a blueprint or something. And I knew the gesture probably, definitely, came from me.
Me? Keeper. And Ye-Ye, keeper. Yes?
Yes, I answered with a smitten grin, but the siren woman arched a singular thunderous eyebrow at me, like my response was inadequate. So I straightened up my spine. Yes, I understand. You and Shay are both the protectors.
Yes.
She nodded with a pleased expression. And I knew I had passed the test. She was not the type to be taken as anything less than serious, and I really did not want to cross that line.
You, not keeper, so can't... the doors...
I think I get it, I said with the appropriate nod. I can't actually go through or work the doors because I'm not like you. So why are you able to bring me?
Ah,
she said with a smirk, and then she patted her chest with a proud expression.
Nova, different, special, because Father Blot.
You've inherited a traveler power from Krev, just like Maz and Rylan did from their fathers, too, I summed up. You can take people close to the heart doors, but you can't actually let me come out through it. Makes sense.
Can bring with Nova in between,
the siren woman confirmed as she nodded her indigo head and my brain snagged on her wording. In between, I murmured. And then I maneuvered us both to our feet since we'd rested enough. That's familiar to me somehow. But the urgency boiling under my skin to find Shay forced itself to the forefront of my focus, and the previous thread of thinking would have to be put aside for now. Especially since it seemed as if this wasn't the only cave, but part of a network of long-forgotten chambers surrounded by a larger center chamber where a glowing white sphere was throbbing gently. There was a clear fissure zigzagging down the center of the large sphere. But it was glowing a bright orange, as if some invisible welder was joining the crack back together and was about 3/4 of the way done. The remaining quarter was still open and leaking something that looked like dry ice, which covered about 1 inch of the floor in a mesmerizing swirling mist. And there, at the base of the milky white sphere, was Shay with her eyes closed and curled up on her side. Shay, I breathed, and I immediately ran to her side to check her over. The phoenix woman was in the fetal position like she'd crumpled suddenly. But her face was peaceful, aside from the dried gold flaking off her cheeks from her magic healing teardrops. It seemed as if she had exhausted herself and fainted before she could finish the job. The heart of Aang didn't really seem to care about this, though, and the invisible welding continued on, but at a glacial pace.
Heart still.
Nova made a flapping gesture with her hand. Yeah, it's still being healed, I said for her benefit, and I pressed the back of my hand against Shay's forehead and then snapped it back like I'd been burned. She's freezing cold. We have to get her out of here.
Wait,
the siren woman said and grabbed my arm when I attempted to haul Shay into my arms.
Can't yet.
But she's getting weaker the longer she stays here and lets that thing sucks out her life force, I argued. But Nova just shook her head and dug her nails into my arm hard enough to sting.
Can't,
she insisted, and the taut look of distress on her pale green face got my attention.
Dangerous.
Okay, I gave in, and I settled down with the phoenix woman supported across my lap at least so she wasn't on the freezing ground. Nova sat back on her heels in relief, and she rubbed the spaces where her fingernails had dug little half-moons into my skin in an apology. Then we both sat in tense silence, as the heart of Aang continued to seal shut at a snail's pace. A snail with mono. The only thing that made the time go by with any quickness at all was watching the exotic beauty next to me observe the woman in my arms with something akin to fascination. Or obsession. I couldn't really say just yet, but the look in Nova's naturally reddish eyes seemed to glow along with the throbbing pulse of the heart, like they had their own ambient ruby light. Those rubies now drank in Shay's body draped across my lap as if the siren woman was a mixture of voraciously curious yet equally parched for beauty for her eyes to feast on. Given the squalid and shabby conditions of Rickety House and the equally unimpressive brown rolling plains and rock quarry of Tatabo, it was no wonder she was riveted on Shelia. In a word, if I had to name an oil painting of the gorgeous phoenix woman, I would title it Goddess in Repose, because she looked every inch divine as she rested deeply in my arms. The crimson Natavian-style dress she sometimes preferred draped along her curvaceous body like something out of ancient Rome or Greece. And with every full breath, her luscious breasts swelled and ebbed like the tide, which caused the satiny fabric to shimmer enchantingly in the light. Even the faint frown that crept into Shay's expression as she continued to struggle to heal with her exhausted incarnate powers was tragically beautiful. And that was why I suddenly felt sick the moment I noticed the roots of her scarlet hair were starting to turn white. "Mercedes, no," I whispered, as I watched more and more of her beautiful red and gold locks bleach themselves of their vibrant hue. Even the long champagne feathers along her crest turned silver. And my heart cramped even harder in my chest as I bowed over her as far as I could. "Hold on, baby. I know you can do it. You're strong." Nova started singing under her breath a little and tentatively gathered Shay's hand up in hers. The siren woman's voice got a little louder as she continued to vocalize some haunting melody only she knew the words of. And along with the song, she rocked back and forth on her knees ever so slightly. Maybe it was my imagination, but Shay's fingers looked like they tightened around the sirens, and after that, the literal color draining from her appeared to slow down. Shay suddenly gasped and opened her eyes. But they were now a washed-out coppery green, as if the darkness of her natural emeralds had suffered the same fate as her hair.
"It's done!"
Sure enough, the last of the heart's glowing seam had finished sealing, and in its wake was a dull line cooling down from red to black. "Sweetheart?" I asked, as her eerie green eyes appeared to stare straight past me. "Shay?" Nova sang again, and just like that, Shay's eyes turned back to normal, and the sudden tension poured out of her and left her limp and shaking.
"Alex,"
she said, and weakly gripped my wrist.
"It wouldn't stop. It just kept taking."
"Shh," I soothed, and I held her close as she started crying deep, heaving sobs that seemed to actually be cathartic in the end, because her shaking was starting to ebb instead of getting worse.
"Shh,"
the green-skinned woman mimicked, and she hummed her siren's tune until Shay was also humming along with her. Until she wasn't.
"Alex,"
she finally whispered.
"I'm so..."
My wife's head went heavy against my collarbone right as something feral, ferocious, and pissed off screeched in the distance. "What the fuck was that?" I asked, as Nova's spine snapped up and her fin-like ears flared out on either side of her head.
"Shh,"
she snapped, and I pressed my lips together as I watched those sensitive satellites twitch and swivel. Finally, her maroon eyes flew open wide.
"We go! Now!"
"Now?" I said. And I heaved both Shay and I up with Nova's help.
"No! No!"
she urged. And she helped situate the insensate phoenix woman in my arms and then started lightly smacking Shay's face. "Whoa, hey, let her rest," I said, and tried to shift my wife out of her reach.
"No time!"
she said.
"Something coming! Mean!"
As if on cue, another ear-splitting shriek rent the air, and this time it sounded a lot closer and was accompanied by the rumble of twice as many feet. A lot of them. "Okay, let's go," I said, and I was all for getting the fucking fricks-frocks out of here, but was stopped again by Nova's rapidly shaking head. "What now?"
"Can't you..."
Here she gestured to both of us.
"Together?"
"What are you trying to say?" I asked, since I still wasn't getting it. Came another piercing howl, as the stampede of whatever fresh hell was making said racket thundered closer.
"Wake up now,"
the siren woman instructed clearly, and she jabbed a finger at the unconscious Shay on every word. "Got it," I said, and I dropped to one knee so I could still support her, but also use my other hand to try and shake her awake. "Shay, love, wake up. We have to go back through the door now." She moaned, and I could tell she struggled for a second in opening her heavy eyelids.
"Door?"
Hey, there you are, I encouraged, and cupped her heart-shaped face. Do you remember how you got here, sweetheart?
Something was crying out in pain,
she said as her eyelids drooped closed again. No, stay awake, Shay, I said. And I gently gripped some of her bleached hair so I could shake her just a bit and keep her awake. Nova and I need you to stay awake as we go back through the door to Ohm. Remember Ohm? She said and forced her eyes open.
Did I heal the heart of Ohm?
You sure did, baby, I said with an encouraging smile. And I stood back up with my other arm under her knees in a comfortable bridal carry. And then we lost track of you for a bit. Can you tell me what you remember after that? Nova nodded and made a gesture with her hands that I interpreted as, keep her talking. So that's exactly what I tried to do while the siren woman gripped my elbow and readied herself to touch the crystal clear sphere now devoid of the jagged crack from before.
After Ohm, it was like there was still a piece that was broken,
the incarnate murmured.
At first, I thought it was because of me, because I'm homesick.
So you went to Nada first, I said.
And then I got confused,
she said, which explained why Nova probably followed her trail to Tear after that.
Ready?
Nova asked, once she finally seemed settled enough to attempt to teleport two people with her back to Ohm. Yes, I said, and I clutched my wife close. I held my breath when Nova finally touched the surface of the Aang heart, and the pressure of traveling through another plane of existence crushed Shay and I from all sides. Then I felt the Phoenix Woman's head loll heavily on my shoulder about halfway through the journey. So when we landed back in that chamber with the underground lake and the glowing blue obelisk, I didn't need to hear Nova's mournful scream to confirm my worst fears.